The Nikki Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi, where the meat is delivered fresh every day, the Aldi way.
Maintenance, men have it easy compared to women.
That is true.
Or so you think.
That is true. No.
Or so you think. Apparently, up to 50% of men experience some degree of male pattern baldness. 50%, that's half.
Yeah.
It's something that
Thanks
can affect.
For clarifying that.
It's something that can affect a man's. I mean, earlier on, you didn't know if it was only female cows.
You're right.
That gave me. It's something that can affect a man's confidence and self esteem. And on the phone now, live from BBC Nottingham, Spencer Stevenson is there. Morning, Spencer.
Hi there, how are you doing?
We're good, how are you today?
Yeah, really good, thanks buddy. Thanks for very much for having me on the show today.
Not at all, it's a pleasure. Okay, 50% of men experience a degree of male pattern, but that's, as we said, it's half, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a great deal, but what people don't actually realise is it is a hidden epidemic. There's a lot of guys out there, up until the age of about 50 years old, people will experience some form of hair loss to some degree before they reach the age of 50. So people don't necessarily talk about it, you see, and hair loss sufferers do essentially suffer in silence, and it's just kind of supposed to be accepted, you know, but it does traumatise guys, I can assure you.
Would it be right in saying that every man, 100% of men, by the time they die at, you know, 80, 75, 80, 90 years of age, lose hair? Like, I mean, by the time at that stage, you do see a lot of older men would have a full head of hair, but they would still not have the full head of hair that they would have had in their early 20s.
It's certainly quite rare to see see an older gentleman with a full head of hair. Yes, definitely. I mean, it all depends. Unfortunately, the male pattern baldness can affect, as I said, you know, anybody at any time, ultimately. And what we tend to find is, up to 50% of guys by the age of they're reaching 50 years old have experienced some form of hair loss to some degree. Guys, you know, that get past that point and haven't experienced any hair loss very, very lucky and are the minority, I can assure you.
Tell me, Spencer, obviously you advise on this now. Why does it happen? Do we know, the science there now that's 100% right to say we know why it happens?
We ultimately understand why it happens, and without getting too scientific, some of us are genetically depositioned to be affected by dihydrotestosterone. It's all floating around in our systems, but it affects a lot of us, you know, and it affects our hair, and therefore it starts miniaturizing and we start to progressively lose it, and it happens over time. Some people, as I say, are lucky and get away with that, but we are aware of the reasons behind it. There are certainly a couple of proven treatments out there that can help against it. However, there are a number of treatments sold out there that aren't effective. And this is what I kind of do. I've set up my website, spexhair.com, to kind of educate and empower people with regards to appropriate treatments, and essentially trying to educate and empower them, because it's a massive psychological issue as well. You know, as you noted before, you know, it does affect people's confidences, affects people's self-esteem, and people don't generally like to speak about it. And this is why I kind of created my platform to educate people and make sure they realize they're not alone, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, we see nowadays, you know, the kind of the ground that everybody has made with, like, things like mental health and stuff. It's not a taboo subject anymore. I would say this probably comes under, you know, a pretty similar umbrella. If you're suffering in silence on anything, you want to be able to get out there, speak about it, learn about it, and help yourself. Or a family member might want to help one of their brothers, sisters, whatever it might be. So that brings us then to, you said that there are a couple of treatments that are, you know, proven to work as opposed to the ones that don't. Somebody goes on the internet, which has changed the world for everybody. How do they know they're looking up the right thing, or where do they go to get, you know, the right advice?
Well, that's a good question. There are a number of reliable resources out there. There are a number of hair loss forums. As I said, my website has been proven to be quite a reliable source as well. It's regularly updated. And there's also an incredible kind of show which is called The Bald Truth, which is housed in the US, which is where people get to call in and discuss and vent and find out and discuss different treatments as well. So there are resources out there, but I agree with you. The internet is a very grey place, despite the fact that it's fantastic It allows people to research a great deal of information. It's important that hair loss sufferers do find reliable sources of information. And what they need to do is just take their time when they are researching. And as I said, I do provide a good platform with specshair.com. I have a free report on there which discusses relevant treatments and allows people to kind of make their own decision as well. You know, it's a personal decision what they want to venture into if they choose and they want to do something about their hair loss.
And Spencer, I know it says here that you started going bald or losing your hair at 21. And did you ever at any
That's
point...
That's very young, isn't it?
It is young. Yeah. And did you think at one point, I'm just going to go with it? Or was it immediate for you that you thought, I'm not happy about this?
I mean, I toyed with the idea back and forth for quite a while. But unfortunately for me, I had a fantastic head of hair up until the age of 21. And I started to lose it quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I tried all different sorts of treatments that had no success with them. Hence kind of why I've kind of, you know, out here now trying to educate people, empower them, making sure they avoid the same mistakes I made. But I tried to shave it all off and deal with it. There are a subset of guys that can deal with it, you know, and fair play to them. I have the ultimate respect for them. But what I've soon realized is there are, you know, millions and millions of guys out there that do suffer with it and want to ultimately try and combat it and beat it. And I was one of those that just didn't want to, I didn't want it to let it beat me, and I couldn't deal with being going bald rather, so decided to do something about it. And fortunately, I live to tell the tale. But some guys, you know, they battle with it for a number of years and do decide to give in. It just depends what means they've gone about and prior to throwing in the towel, because if you've had bad surgery, then unfortunately it's not necessarily an easy option just to back out and throw the towel in.
What about though, do you need a lot of money to be able to afford to do this, you know? Because I mean, how much would you have spent in the early days on this?
Well, I've spent a considerable amount of money over the years. I've spent in the region of £30,000 to £40,000. Now, that is me over the course of 15 years. But nowadays, as I said, there are appropriate treatments out there that are affordable, that can slow down the progression of hair loss. Surgery, surgery is a last resort, you know. It's very important. The secret to the whole hair loss success stories are people that prevent further loss. If you want to then go down the hair restoration route, it's important that you've prevented further loss prior to doing it, in my opinion, because you don't want to be constantly chasing your tail having further surgery as you continue to lose further hair. But surgery is affordable. It just depends on how much you need. And obviously, there are various clinics out there and prices do vary. But it is affordable. It depends how much you ultimately want to dedicate to restoring your hair.
Is there any home remedies that work? Because you hear a lot of these kind of, you know, there's old wives' tales, there's, you know, about how people become bald and various things. But then there's also the likes of, you know, caffeine shampoos and all these sorts of things. Are they a bit more of a placebo, or do you think they actually do work in some way?
In my personal opinion,
yeah.
I don't think the caffeine shampoos work. However, everybody does respond differently to certain treatments. There, as I said before, there are countless products out there that don't work. It's important that you realise why you're losing your hair, the reasons it's actually you are losing your hair, and therefore understand the how treatments and why treatments work.
So why are treatments allowed to be put on the shelf if they actually don't work?
It's a very good question. You know, you can say that about a lot of things, can't you? You know, there's a great number of products out there. I'm not the hair police. I'm ultimately here just
to
say, you know, there are options available to people, and it's very important they get educated with regards to what it is they're taking and be very informed in terms of the hair loss industry preys on the vulnerable. It's a multi-billion pound industry, and in my vast experience of dealing with hundreds of thousands of people over the last 15 years, you know, from celebrities through to, you know, average Joe, there are only a few treatments that specifically work. And that's what I found.
There's a couple of big, well-known celebrities that have had and admitted themselves. Like, obviously, I think Wayne Rooney has admitted it, but Louis Walsh definitely has had hair restoration.
James Nesbitt is publicly out about the fact that he's had some surgery done and also on proven medications. So, yes, power to them.
Are those, whatever they've had done, are they huge money? Like, is there a level in terms of what you can do, or is it one... for all, it just costs money. Is that how it works?
It's all relative to the amount of work that you have to have done. I mean, to summarise, if you only need a small amount of, if we're talking about hair transplant surgery, if you only need a small amount done, it could be anything from the region of £3,000 to £4,000. If you need extensive work doing, it could be anything to £15,000 to £20,000. However, what you read in the papers with regards to what surgery has cost, you need to take it with a pinch of salt, because rarely does it actually cost that much.
Did you have some transplants?
I've actually had 12 hair transplant procedures, yeah.
Okay, so is that dating back?
That's dating back from over, nearly 15 years now. So yeah, I've had a number of procedures, started out with quite outdated procedures. Unfortunately for me, through trial and error, and also through the internet, ultimately being able to communicate with people, I was able to establish a couple of really, really good surgeons. And now I kind of represent four of the leading surgeons in the world now. So there are options available to people. What people really need to understand is if you are dealing with hair loss, that surgery isn't necessarily the be all and end all. What you have to realize is stopping further loss, if you want to do something about your hair loss, is vital. That is the key to it all.
And is that in a pill? Is that in a shampoo? Is that in a cream?
There's a couple of methods. There's a lotion, there's a pill that you take daily, and it depends on the individual. They have proven to work, yes, and I'm certainly a result of that, yes.
Okay, it's very interesting, because I'm sure there's probably thousands of lads listening at the moment, and they're literally, you know, hanging on every word that you're saying.
It is important. I've been there. I was that young guy losing my hair, and I know how isolating it can be and how vulnerable people are, because nobody actually wants to talk about it. For a number of years, I suffered in silence and didn't tell my story, went through a number of procedures, tried different products, and then kind of went full circle and decided to tell my story recently, actually, in the Telegraph, hence why I'm on this show as well. It's important to guys to be able to speak about it, and it's a much bigger deal for them individually than it actually is to others, but at the same time, it's all relative. So it's important they realise they can talk, and there are options out there and resources to be able to, for them to communicate.
And lads are you know, yourself, lads can be brutal with each other. You know, you can be down the pool where you can be playing football five-a-side, and you know, if you're young and you're losing their hair, people they prey on that out of fun, and I'm sure that situation, it probably affects you even more than ever.
It does, and unfortunately it tends to be the guys that aren't losing their hair that have the throwaway comments to the guys that are losing their hair. But it is emotionally traumatic to start losing your hair, and then to have your peers jib you and jibe you about it is even more kind of unsettling and unnerving, hence why people try to want to keep it to themselves. So, you know, I get it, I've been there, I know what it's like to suffer in silence with regards to dealing with hair loss. And you know, for all your listeners out there that do want to get in touch, feel free to communicate with me via my website, spexhair.com, and also, you know, the baldtruth.com is a radio station geared towards hair loss sufferers, specifically to call in, to vent, to listen, and realize that you're not on your own. You know, there are a number of people out there suffering just the same as yourself.
Yeah, we've had a lot of texts in. Someone's just said here, I'm 21 and I'm also losing my hair, and I feel very embarrassed about it, and I haven't spoken to anyone yet. So I suppose for the likes of that texter at spexhair.com, and you'll give obviously advice. And I have to say, we're looking at a photograph of you there, Spencer, before and after, and you've a fantastic head of hair,
thank you very much. It's been a long journey, and like I say, it's a combination there of treatments and hair transplants over a number of years. So it's important for everybody to realise that not everybody's necessarily going to get the results that I've got, but there are options available to them, and that is key. And talking about it is really important, because if you bottle this up, it can become emotionally very draining, you know.
Yeah.
And it is a reality. Hair loss, you know, it is a hidden epidemic. The number of people that are experiencing hair loss and deal with it silently is overwhelming.
Is there an age on a transplant that they advise you have to be over a certain age or anything? No.
I mean, essentially, it depends on the individual, depends on their circumstances. Age, definitely. There's no hard and fast rule. Surgery is bespoke. You know, it's custom made to that particular individual. But generally speaking, you wouldn't really want to be having surgery before the age of 35. I mean, I started very early, but that obviously, what you have to realize is, you know, you're not getting any younger. The if you, the sooner you start, it's it's one of those things that you have to be aware there is a commitment involved with it. And obviously you have to, it would be highly advisable to be on proven treatments to prevent further hair loss if you are going to venture down the hair transplantation route at a young age. And an ethical surgeon has taken you on board and understands what they're doing for you short term and long term. You know, it's not a quick one-time fix. You know, there's a commitment that people have to be aware of emotionally and financially, you know.
Yeah, so it's about, right now, if you're young, it's about talking, getting the right advice, and then I suppose stabilizing any loss that may potentially be happening.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of guys that are dealing with hair loss, you know, they may be very emotionally traumatized by it, and talking about it may enable them to deal with it better, and you know, they may not necessarily then realize that they are so alone, and they may decide to chalk it up and shave it all off. And you know, in this today's age, it's much more common to have a shaven head and get away with it, because if you start committing to dealing with your hair loss, it is a long process, it's a long commitment. So it's something people need to be aware of. It isn't a quick fix. It is a long-term commitment.
Now, there's also something worth bearing in mind. Someone else has texted in and said, guys, I started losing my hair at 21. I'm now shaven and I look amazing. I can honestly say the whole hair loss thing never really bothered me. So that's from Johnny. I suppose,
but
there
it is a personal thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's very
of course
personal.
It is.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, listen, Spencer, that's absolutely fantastic. Anybody listening and wants to check it out, Specs Hair, it's SPEXHAIR.com, and Spencer will give you all the advice there. Spencer Stevenson, thanks a million.
No, thank you for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.